Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. And happy NFL to you and yours. The week one of the NFL season opening night gets going tonight. Dallas and Philadelphia. We'll give out some best bets in that one. We'll also continue to look at the rest of the NFL slate for week one. We'll also talk a lot of college football on the show today. Cole Thompson going to join us here in a moment to talk week two. We'll also get into some of our favorite player props in week two of college football. Did very good with our player props last week. And then we'll dive into some of the fantasy players I like in NFL in week one as we'll fill out our fantasy lineup and then wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, best bets that you guys have for us, anything you have in the NFL, college football, any Major League Baseball bets that you have for us tonight, let us know. We'll get to your questions throughout the show. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you go check out the Send It In podcast wherever you get your podcast. Let's check in with our guy, Cole Thompson, as we go to the Glass or Guest Line. Glass is in session. Give Cole a follow on X at Mr. Cole Thompson, host of SEC Unfiltered. Cole, want to talk plenty of college football with you, obviously, but real quick, NFL opening season, quick thought on the game tonight, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles favored by 8.5. Would you play anything in the game tonight?
Listen, if you want to go ahead and set the tone of your Jerry Jones, make sure that you get a win over the Super Bowl defending champions. Let's go ahead and let people from the outside talk about how Micah Parsons is going to be a negative impact on your team, that you're not going to be able to trust your defense, and that Brian Schottenheimer is a one-and-done coach, and you're really waiting for 2026 to hit the reset button. If you want to prove that you are turning the tides, you are in the right direction, go on into the link. Make sure you get a signature win and do so with your offense being as potent as possible. You bring in a guy like George Pickens this offseason to pair alongside with CeeDee Lamb. Jake Ferguson gets a brand new deal. The offensive line still is going to be one of the best in the NFL. If you're able to run the football efficiently and have a secondary punch, this may be an interesting game. But I don't think that you have that secondary punch. I don't like this defense. I am taking the -8.5. I think Philadelphia is well on its way to returning back to the big game out in Santa Clara this year.
All right, very good. I'll give my thoughts on that game coming up a little bit later on in the show. Cole, before we get into week two, let's revisit week one in college football. I'll leave it open-ended wherever you want to go. Your biggest storyline after the first week in college football is what?
Hey, guys, it's week one. Let's not hit the panic button on like any single team because it's week one. Anything and everything is possible, including more regression for the University of Alabama, including more regression for Arch Manning, including Clemson not losing another game, having a top five scoring offense, and maybe LSU just is that much better defensively than we give credit to. So many people want to come to conclusions after a 60-minute period because it's the only sets of evidence that you have. But remember, there's a difference difference between how you start the season and how you finish the season. And not every game is going to be battled the exact same way. Credit where credit's due to teams like Alabama, LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, Texas. You can even throw in Miami and Notre Dame. These are rosters that decide to actually play competitive matchups that shouldn't be penalized when it comes to the college football playoff selection. Meanwhile, you got Georgia playing against Marshall. You got teams like Florida playing LIU. We don't know anything about these rosters. So give it time before you decide to give up on a coach, give up on a program, and start hitting the reset button on 2026. Everything is going to be fine. Let me hold your hand and remind you that week one does not define week 13. Injuries occur, changes happen, and better yet, attitudes change in the process after suffering a harrowing loss.
Well said, Cole. Let's dive into some of the games that we have in week two. And you mentioned two teams that didn't play really anybody in week one, a couple of FCS opponents, Illinois and Duke. Cole, it's an interesting one. I think on paper, you look at these two matchups, you see Illinois is a top 15 team, only a 3-point favorite. Feels like the Illini are the play, but going on the road early in the season against Manny Diaz and an improved Duke roster, who do you like in that game on Saturday?
If you would have told me 5 years ago we'd be breaking down an Illinois-Duke game, I would have said, great, what's the line on the hoop range? Because if that would be the only way this makes sense. But Manny Diaz and Brett Bielema, they're two defensive-minded coaches that have physical trenches up front on both sides of the line, and they have quarterbacks that are very experienced in living up to the moment, Luke Altmyer and Darian Mensah. The difference was Western Illinois gave no troubles to Illinois' offensive personnel. They were able to just pile drive over them, make it look like an easy breeze. And the pedigree of what's going to work for a Brett Bielema squad is they are going to ground and pound you into the dirt. And then when you start to corral the box, they'll take their shots downfield. That feels like what's going to be the motion when it comes to Luke Altmyer, when it comes to Adrian Lodi. I think if they want to run the football, Elon actually had some success moving the football on the ground against Duke. And they actually made it a very close game going into halftime. Then we get to the third quarter, Darian Mensah decides to wake on up, and they proceed to win 45-17. It's all going to come down to Darian Mensah for me. He was one of the best quarterbacks at the G5 level last year at Tulane. He takes the $4 million to head on over to Durham, North Carolina. I think he's a really good fit and a sleeper that makes Duke a very sneaky team in the ACC. And I like him a little bit better than I like Luke Altmyer. I think at home, Wallace Wade Stadium early on in the season, I'm calling the upset. I'm taking not only the +3, I'm taking Duke to win outright. I think this is a sentimental moment for Manny Diaz as he gets the Blue Devils in the conversation as dark horse for the college football playoff.
All right, very good. Cole, I want to ask you about a bunch of other games. Let's try and keep it to about a minute on each of these, including the Cy-Hawk matchup between Iowa and Iowa State. Kirk Ferentz and company have won 6 straight games in Ames. Do you think they make it 7, or do you like the Cyclones?
They can. I think what's going to be the big difference maker in this matchup is who wins on third down and who wins time of possession. You got the big 6'6" tight ends for Iowa State. They are going to have to get involved in the passing attack for Rocco Becht. They both had great performances going into the fourth quarter out in Dublin, Ireland. What's going to be interesting as well is special teams. These are two coaches that know how big the importance of field positioning is, punt return ability, and kickoff return ability. So whoever wins in that specific category, I think is going to come out on top. I like Rocco Beck a little bit more than I like Mark Gronowski, but I do think that this defense for Iowa is going to charge a lot of fits for Iowa State. I know it's an aim, so I'm taking the +3.5. I'm going to take Iowa State to win. I think it's a very close one-score game, one-point game, something like 21-20.
Okay, there you go. We're talking college football week two with our guy Cole Thompson. Give him a follow on X at Mr. Cole Thompson. Check him out. Does a great job hosting for SEC Unfiltered. Cole, one more noon Eastern game that I really... The noon Eastern slate this week is good. You got Illinois, Duke, Iowa State, and then SMU-Baylor matchup. Do you think the Bears bounce back after a tough home loss to Auburn on Friday?
They're going to have to, but you're going to have to see second chance adjustments when it comes to this defense. They allowed over 300 rushing yards on the ground, and credit where credit's due, Sawyer Robertson at least made it a game by throwing for over 400, but you got to be multidimensional as a defense. Kevin Jennings, can you let him stay in the pocket and build that rapport in the passing attack downfield? Maybe you got to go ahead and send the safety down in the box to take away that rushing element, and then on the opposing side, you got to be able to run the football. One of the key elements that worked for Auburn was making Baylor a one-dimensional passing attack. It ended up being very proficient because of what you had with the guy in Sawyer Robertson over 400 yards, but still, you got to have that secondary punch. I think they get that secondary punch in this game. Again, I'm taking the plus 2.5, and I'm taking the team to go on the road to actually head into Gerald Ford, walk back to Waco, sitting at 1-1, a big non-conference win and a big win for the Big 12 for Baylor.
Cole, let's get into some games with some SEC teams, including an SEC matchup. Ole Miss and Kentucky, Lane Kiffin and the Rebels going on the road, laying 10 in Lexington. Who do you like in that matchup?
You got to remember, this was the game, and yes, the Florida game and the LSU game certainly were problems, but this was the game that many people turned to say Ole Miss missed the college football playoff because of it. A loss in Oxford last year, week 5, Barry and Brown, Brock Vandergriff, has probably been on the mind of Lane Kiffin throughout the entire offseason, throughout all of last season. He wants his revenge, and what we saw from Austin Simmons, despite a few mechanical issues, very sound quarterback. Kentucky is going to have to pressure a young passer in his first road test, in his first conference game, to make those mental mistakes. And I just don't see that happening. I don't see where Lane Kiffin is going to allow himself to lose. And the bottom line is that, remember the feeling of how Ole Miss missed the college football playoff last year. I feel like this is going to be a game that gets out of hand. I feel like this is going to be a game that leads to a lot of scoring. And I think that Lane Kiffin's not going to take out his backups. He's going to look like Kyra Wren screaming, more, 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 because if he knows that he has got to send a message to Kentucky. I like Ole Miss to win big. I like Ole Miss with the points at minus 10.
Arizona State goes to Starkville this weekend. Maybe people have seen the video of Arizona State trying to simulate the cowbell in practice. Cole, I think they're in for a rude awakening. You can't simulate those cowbells. They're laying 6.5. What do you think about this game?
I think it's funny that also Kenny Dillingham's talking about in the state of Mississippi, there's like a casino on every street corner. Can I go there and place a few bets while we're at it, Kenny D? Because I may end up picking against you. This is going to be a game that's very high scoring. I like what we saw last week from Mississippi State's offensive personnel. The beauty of the run and shoot that they like to run with Jeff Levy is they have two dynamic running backs that can work in Fluff Bothwell and Davin Booth. On the opposing side, Sam Levitt is going to have to be the X factor for this team. Last week against Northern Arizona, led the Sun Devils in rushing yards. Who was going to be that secondary punch to go alongside him? Who was going to be that weapon opposite of Jordan Tyson to make a lot of plays? The tight end position is going to have to be really big in this matchup, I think, on both sides. Death taxes, always take the points and the over whenever it's a Mississippi State defense. I think this is a high scoring game. I am going to take Mississippi State with the points at plus 6.5, but I think Arizona State's able to pull this one out in Starkville, even though they barely have any cowbells ringing out in Tempe right now.
Yeah, that should be a good one. And the game of the week, Cole, top 25 matchup, Oklahoma and Michigan. 30 seconds for this one. Sooners laying 5.5. Who do you like there in Norman this week?
Bryce Underwood, I think, is going to be one of the best rising quarterbacks in the game. I think that he will eventually become a fixture of Big Ten football and lead Michigan back to the college football playoff. But it's his first road start against a Power 4 team, and it's a Brent Venables defense. This is not a recipe you want unless you are already one of the elites of the elites. I think that by the time we get to Sunday morning, we're talking about Jon Mateer, we're talking about this Oklahoma offense being much more dynamic, and the defense getting the job done at home. I'm taking the minus 5.5. I'm taking Oklahoma to win this game. I think that we are going to be talking a lot more about the Sooners as a prominent team in the college football playoff come this time next week.
There you go. Cole Thompson, always great analysis in college football, giving us some NFL analysis as well. Cowboys, Eagles tonight. Give him a follow on X at Mr. Cole Thompson. Check out SEC Unfiltered. Cole, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the weekend. Talk again next week.
PJ, remember, there is no such thing as a bad week in college football. Take care, guys.
All right, man. That ain't that true. Ain't that true. Excited for week two. Let's continue talking week two in college football. Dive into some player props that we like for the upcoming week. We'll start in that Ole Miss Kentucky game with the Rebels and the Wildcats. Austin Simmons right now, passing touchdown prop is at 1.5. The under is plus 125. I think this could be a low scoring game. We talked about it earlier in the week when the total was 52.5. Now it's down to 50.5. I think this game could be a slog. I think it could be the first to 20. And Simmons, yes, super talented, but first career road start, maybe a little bit of a sleepy spot going against one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the SEC. I think this is a low-scoring, ugly game. I like the plus 125 for Simmons to only score one touchdown. I think Kentucky's going to keep everything in front like they did last year when these teams play. They didn't really let any of those explosive plays that Ole Miss usually has beat them. They made the Rebels work their way down the field. I do think they do the same thing again on Saturday. And if they do, hopefully Ole Miss, if they do find the end zone, run it in instead of throwing it in. So I'll go under 1.5 passing touchdowns for Austin Simmons at plus 125. Let's go with DJ Lagway to have 300 or more passing yards against South Florida on Saturday at plus 180. So we're taking an alt on DJ Lagway's pass yards. Look, USF looked awesome against Boise last Thursday, right? Dominant performance. I mean, especially in that second half, just completely blew away from them. USF wants to go fast, though, and I think that tempo at times could get them into trouble. Keep in mind, too, with Florida, their schedule is the hardest in the country. Their next two opponents after USF are LSU and Miami, and they still have to play Texas and Georgia and Florida State and Tennessee and a whole bunch more really good teams. So how many more games is Florida really going to be able to save DJ Lagway from some hits and make sure he's not taking any of those extra beating? I think this is one of those games. They really focus on Lagway in the pocket, and USF also wants to make Lagway beat them from the pocket. So I think Florida airs it out. I would look at DJ Lagway, 300 or more passing yards at plus 180. Justice Haynes, the running back for Michigan, who was terrific in their season opener against New Mexico, had nearly 160 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns for the Wolverines. His anytime touchdown price is plus 130 against Oklahoma. Now, I think Michigan is going to have a difficult time scoring in that game, but I also think Bryce Underwood's going to have a difficult time through the air. I think the times that Michigan does get it inside the red zone or inside the 10-yard line, they're looking for Haynes. I would expect 20 to 25 carries out of him. So Justice Haynes plus 130 to find the end zone. I think that's a good price in that Oklahoma-Michigan game. What about Arizona quarterback Sam Levitt? Under 45.5 rushing yards against Mississippi State. In all of the road games that Sam Levitt played in last year, he did not eclipse 46 yards. He did at home, but in the true road games, never went over 46 yards. Mississippi State last week against Southern Miss gave up 58 rushing yards to the quarterback, which I think is why the total is as high as it is. And again, Levitt is a guy whose home and road splits tends to run more at home, doesn't get sacked as much. At home, keep in mind, as always, have to mention this every time we talk about a quarterback rushing prop. In college, sacks can count against the quarterback rushing total. So while Levitt may be running the ball, could go for 60, 70 yards, if he gets sacked 4 or 5 times, he might go under this number. Again, with the cowbells ringing, difficult environment at night, I think Levitt could get sacked a couple times. I think Mississippi State does a good job keeping him in the pocket. So I'll go Sam Levitt under 45.5 rushing yards. And then finally, Dante Moore, the quarterback for Oregon. I'll take his over passing yards, over 234.5 against Oklahoma State. Oregon, I think, is going to blow the doors off of Oklahoma State. They are the way more talented team. They should win this game by 30, maybe even 40 points. But again, I think this is a good game for Oregon, Dan Lanning, to really prep Dante Moore and really get him more comfortable and confident before they have the rivalry game against Oregon State upcoming and then the big road trip to Happy Valley to take on Penn State. So this is a game I think Oregon's going to focus on the pass. They get Dante Moore in a rhythm, over 234.5 passing yards for Dante Moore against the Pokes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's continue talking week one of the NFL season. You guys, you won't hear a better stat across any show than the one I'm about to give you. And I got to give credit to the Twitter account Lock and Cash, who shared this trend for this Giants and Commanders game. Listen to this one, all right? We've had 25 instances in the last 20 years where this has happened. It only applies in week one, where you get a divisional matchup like you are between the Giants and the Commanders. You get a team that made the playoffs playing against a team that missed the playoffs. And also it's a game where last year there was a team that got swept by the other team, okay? If you bet on the team, who's in the case of the Giants, the team that got swept and missed out on the playoffs, and they're a dog in the game against the favorite like they are against Washington, in those 25 instances, that team is 23-2 against the spread. 23-2. So once again, I'll repeat that, right? You have a team that made the playoffs in Washington versus a team in the Giants who didn't. They're divisional opponents. Washington swept the Giants last year. You're looking to bet on the Giants, and it has to be in week one. This only applies in week one. 23-2 against the spread. That alone, I'm taking the Giants plus six against Washington. I already kind of liked them in the game to begin with because the Giants always play the Commanders well in D.C. I think the Giants, certainly Russell Wilson going up against that Washington offense, Washington defense is going to be able to make some plays. And I think that Washington, that Giants defensive line could give Washington and Jaden Daniels a little bit of issues. So Giants always play well in Washington. They're always a good bet against the spread against the Commanders. And then I heard that stat and I'm like, Giants plus six. Let's ride. Next up, Panthers, Jags. Jacksonville, 3.5-point favorite. Total in the game is 47. So the Jags are going from a 3-point favorite to a 3.5-point favorite. I'm going with Carolina in the game at plus 3.5. I don't know if the Panthers are going to be an official play for me in this matchup, but look, Trevor Lawrence is a favorite, is not good. And I just think these teams are pretty similar. I think the upside or all the perception right now around Jacksonville is really helping up drive this line. I got to see it before I can believe it. I'll take Carolina plus 3.5 against the Jags. Let's get to some of the late games that we have on Sunday, including the Titans and the Broncos. So you guys know that I like Denver in my survivor pool. That's the team that I would roll with this week. However, now that this line is up to plus 8, I kind of like the Titans plus the points in this game. You have the Broncos, who were one of the best teams against the spread in the NFL last year, against the Titans, who were one of the worst teams against the spread ever in the history of the NFL. Not just last year, ever. They covered 2 games last year. So already right there, the market is going to be a little too low on the Titans than they probably should be. This line probably should be 7, maybe even 6.5, but instead it's at 8. I think you're getting a good number with Tennessee. Look, I get it. Cam Ward is a rookie in his first start on the road in altitude against that defense. Sean Payton and Bo Nix. Denver was front runners last year. They beat up on the teams that they were supposed to beat up on. I think Denver wins the game. Think it could be a close one, though. I like the Titans plus 8. 49ers and Seahawks, this should be a good one. San Francisco is a 2.5-point favorite against Seattle. We talked about it yesterday. Home divisional dogs, 18-4 against the spread since 2012 in week one. And this is another one of those spots. However, San Francisco just always plays well in Seattle. They always do, and they're a great road team. And with how the season went last year for San Francisco, and now they're getting all their guys back, Salah's back on defense. Even though I'm high on the Seahawks this season, and this was a team that was not good at home last year, think about the Seahawks and how great they are normally as a team at home. Only 3 home wins for them last year. I don't think I'm going to bet this game either, but I would lean San Francisco minus the 2.5. Lions and Packers, great game. Packers minus 2.5 against Detroit. Line has gone up a point with the Micah Parsons trade. I like Green Bay. Anything under 3, I would look at the Packers. Dan Campbell's been terrific against the spread in general, but especially in week one, he's been very good with Detroit. And the reason I'm fading the Lions in this game is because all the new that they have, right? They're replacing so many new coaches. No more Frank Ragnow at center either. And the Packers have one of the best home field advantages at home. So I like Green Bay in the game. I would look at them minus 2.5. Rams and Texans, I'm surprised that we're getting a 3 with the Texans, or even some 3.5s that are starting to pop up with Houston as well. Their defensive line against an injured Matt Stafford could be a big story in this game. I think under 43.5 could be worth a look as well. I think this could be a lower scoring game. I think if you can get the three, though, with Houston, that's the side I would lean on and take the Texans. Sunday Night Football, Ravens and Bills. Ravens are now a one-point favorite at minus 125 against Buffalo. Ravens do have some injuries to keep an eye on. Pat Ricard, their fullback, might not play on Saturday or on Sunday. We know Isaiah Likely is already going to be out for that game against Buffalo as well. Feels like a lot of people are on the Ravens this week against the Bills, and I just don't know. Normally, the Ravens are a great bet in prime time, unless it's on the road against the Chiefs or the Bills or any of those teams in the AFC that they can't beat. That's what worries me. I think it's a close game. I think a teaser on either side. Now that the Bills are dogs, teasing them to 7.5, I think, is a great bet. But I'd probably go with the Bills in that game against the Ravens. And finally, Monday Night Football, Vikings and Bears. J.J. McCarthy in his first start on the road in prime time in a divisional game is a favorite. No chance. Give me the Bears, plus 100. I think they win the game outright. Shawnee Sharp, bear down, baby. Let's go with Chicago to win the game against the Vikings. All right, let's talk a little fantasy football here. Week one of the NFL season. If you guys are new to the show, every week in the NFL, we like giving out some of our daily fantasy lineups that we would keep an eye on for week one. Sean's got a beautiful graphic for us that we show every week. So here's my squad that we're rolling with for week one. My quarterback's going to be Michael Penix. He's $5,600 in his matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm a big fan of Penix. I think he's going to have a really good season. I like what I saw when he came in at the end of the year for Kirk Cousins. So Penix is the guy I'm going to go with. I think we're going to get some points in that Falcons Bucks matchup. Alvin Kamara is going to be my first running back at $6,300. Kamara and the Saints, it's going to be a struggle for them this season, but think about how great they were at the early parts of last year, how great Kamara was at the early parts of last year. Kamara's injury prone, and he's going to get banged up at some point this season, so you better use him while he's fresh and he's ready to go, because he's still one of the above average running backs in the game of football. So I'll take Kamara as one of my backs. Also, give me Jonathan Taylor as one of my running backs too at $6,800. I think JT, look, they ran him over 300 times last year. I think they're going to try and do the same thing again with him this year with Daniel Jones starting at quarterback. That's going to be the MO for Shane Steichen and the Colts. And to neutralize that Dolphins pass rush, they're going to try and run the football. So Jonathan Taylor will take him. Three wide receivers I would look at. The first one is Marvin Harrison Jr. for the Cardinals at $5,500. Kyler Murray's talked about how the chemistry between him and Marvin, night and day from what it was last year. I believe him. I think Marvin's going to have a big jump in week two and going up against one of the worst teams in the NFL in the Saints. I think Marvin's going to have a good game, so we'll take him. Give me Drake London as my next receiver at $6,500. That Penix London stack. Man, when Penix came in, Drake London's numbers, his targets took off at the end of last year. With Kirk Cousins in there, he just could not push the ball down the field. And that's part of what makes Drake London such a great receiver. So good at the 50-50 ball. He can really outstretch the defense. Now with Penix in there, I think all systems go. Big upside for Drake London this season. And I think it starts in week one. So I'll take him. And then finally, Malik Nabers. We'll take him at $7,000 against the Commanders. Malik Nabers was a beast last season, but especially against Washington. The first game against Washington in D.C., he had 19 targets in that first game. 10 receptions for 129 yards and a touchdown. Also had 9 receptions in the return game at MetLife later on in the season. Washington can't cover him. They have no answers. He's going to probably have double-digit receptions in this game. Malik Nabers, my third wide receiver. We'll go with tight end for the Colts. Tyler Warren, the rookie. Obviously a rookie. No idea what to expect. But the Dolphins, if there is a good part of their defense, it is their pass rush. Daniel Jones doesn't like pushing the ball down the field. Very conservative. All about his checkdowns and his six-yard passes. That should benefit Tyler Warren. So I'll take him as my tight end at $4,300. Chris Olave, going to put him in the flex at $5,700. I know going with two Saints is not ideal, but I do think the Saints are going to cover. I think they have a good chance to win that game against Arizona. I think they're going to score some points. So a revamped Cardinals secondary should be better this season. But again, just like Kamara, Olave right now is healthy. And when he's healthy, he's a very good wide receiver. So we'll take him. And then Jets defense is going to round out my lineup at $2,800. That Steelers-Jets game, I think, is going to be super low scoring. I think it's going to be the first probably to like 17 or maybe 20 in that game. I think the Jets defense is going to be able to force some turnovers. And again, with Aaron Rodgers back there, not the most mobile of guys at this point in his career. So I'll take Jets D as my fantasy defense. This is our lineup that we have for week one in DFS. Penix is our quarterback. Alvin Kamara, Jonathan Taylor as our two running backs. Drake London, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison as our wide receivers. Tyler Warren is our tight end. Chris Olave in the flex and Jets defense to round out the lineup. Again, no Thursday, no Friday night football, no Sunday night, no Monday night. Just those 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern time games. That's our lineup that we have for this week. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's a pro football no sweat token. Go for the end zone without breaking a sweat. With a pro football no sweat token, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets if you don't win. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. Let's get into some bets and talk a little Cowboys and Eagles for tonight's game. Before we do that, our plane going streaking. Make sure your loved ones are okay. We're taking Nick Castellanos to get a base hit tonight. 7-for-19 in his career against Freddie Peralta. Eagles football's back. Phillies, I think they get the win tonight against the Brewers, and I like Castellanos to get a base hit as well. My prop lock, we're going Saquon Barkley, first touchdown at plus 375. Last year was the year of Saquon, right? Over 2,000 yards. Nearly breaks the rushing record, was voted the number one player just a couple days ago in the NFL. I remember when Alex Ovechkin broke the goal record this past year in the NHL. Who was the first guy to score a goal for the Caps in the postseason? It was Ovi. So now flash forward to the start of the NFL season. Can't you just see Barkley getting in the end zone? And we're right back to where we started. Saquon, first touchdown, plus 375. Dog of the day, I'm going to roll with the Dallas Cowboys, plus 8.5 against the Eagles. Don't love it. Not going to lie to you. I would like it a lot better if Micah Parsons was in there and we get it. It was plus 7.5, plus 7 with Dallas. But I think this is too many points. I think Dallas has a chance to backdoor cover this. I think they're going to be competitive. I think they're going to be able to score. So I'll take Dallas plus the points against Philadelphia. My favorite bet, though, is the Cowboys team total over at 19.5 points. I do think Dallas is going to be able to score. I think they're going to be able to move the football a little bit tonight against Philadelphia. They're going to be the NFC version of the Bengals this year. Defense isn't going to be able to get many stops, but they're going to score. They're going to throw. They're going to put up some points. So I do like Dallas over 19.5 as their team total tonight against Philadelphia. Another guy we keep an eye on, Jake Ferguson. Anytime touchdown, plus 300 and over 34.5 receiving yards. When Dak has been healthy and they've played against the Eagles, Ferguson has had some good output. So I'd look at him as well for tonight. But once again, our favorite plays for today. Nick Castellanos is our play in going streaking. Saquon Barkley, first touchdown, plus 375 against the Cowboys. Cowboys plus 8.5 against the Eagles is our dog of the day. And Dallas team total over 19.5 points is going to be our best bet. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Enjoy opening night of the NFL. Tomorrow's Picks Day, PJ Pick 5, NFL, college football. We'll see you then. Have a great rest of your day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.